Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about worship, and the key is how to worship a king, and that's the hard part of us in this culture is we don't understand kingship very much as they did back when. But we've learned some things. We've learned that when we're born again, when we're a child of Christ, when we're a Christian or a Christian, we also are priests, and we have roles and responsibilities. A priest is to worship God. Last couple of weeks prior to here, we were talking about the tabernacle and the role of priests there and how it gives us a model for worship today. Our responsibility is to carry His presence. Would you all agree to that? It carry the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Ghost, some people might say. How about to minister to Him and then bless those around us? We love God and love others. We have t-shirts that say that. Amen? But like a priesthood, worship being this mega theme, love and lordship are also mega themes. Today we're going to look at what is worship. You say, well, Pastor, I thought we've been doing a little of that. Worship has many forms, sometimes music, amen. But worship is something that I'd like us to define a little better by looking at Scripture. I want us to look at the word worship. I want us to look at it in the English, and I want us to look at it in the Hebrew and the Greek, and I believe it'll give us some understanding for that. Are you all ready for that? So here's worship. If you were to play with that word just a little bit, and it's actually the definition from the old English word, it's worth-ship, something of worth. Let me just say, I have polished a motorcycle before and got the chrome just right. Hello? How many have ever spent hours brushing down or combing down a large animal, maybe a horse or a dog? How many of you all have worshipped in front of a mirror, putting stuff on? I'm sorry, no, you were not worshiping that. But it worth, though, is a key word, worth-ship. And as we think about this, I believe when we think of worship, it's how we give worth to God. Worship always is communicating something, no matter what it is. And when the world sees a believer worshiping, people think this. I know you. It's not the objective here, but oh, that's what God's worth to them. And you say, well, wait a second. Are you talking about at church? No. What is His worth-ship to you throughout the week? Words come from worship. What are those? Well, let me give you some of this. We're going to say some of this sounds like you're clearing your throat. Shaka. Everybody say that with me. Shaka. It's not shocker, you know, shaka. You have to get in the back of your throat there. That word means to bow down. This is a Hebrew word for bow down. This is about submission to worship, to bow down, to acknowledge that He is King. We see in Psalms 95 this, and there's actually words to this. There's songs. We probably are going to actually wrap up today doing a little of this. But it says, oh, let us come and what? Worship. Let us shaka and bow down. Shaka. Let us kneel barak before the Lord our Maker. And I don't know about you. I haven't been around a lot of congregations that are doing this. Bow down. Oh, and bow down. And then what? Kneel. Some of us go, I'd kneel, but I'd never get back up. But this is part of what really goes on when you think about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Folks, when we leave the entrapment of this earthly body and we're in heaven, guess what? You're going to shaka. You're going to barak. You're going to be free of joint pain. Somebody should say amen to that. You're going to be not worrying about hip pain or energy. You're not going to be worried about anything else. You're going to fall prostrate. You're going to stand up. You're going to worship Him. And this side of heaven is practice for that. Come, let us worship. So we have this, you say, well, did they repeat themselves? I thought worship and bow down were two different words. Actually, it's the same kind of, it's the same definition of that same word, to bow down. And to bow down again and kneel before Him, which means to prostrate your body to reflect the posture of your heart. Where's the posture of your heart? And does your body reflect it in worship? Bowing down in church is not common. Let me give you a little background of me. All respect to my family, they did what they knew and grew up in. But as a kid, my parents would take me off and on to a more formal type church setting. And they would dress, I had the little clip-on tie. Do you remember the clip-ons? Yeah, this when little boys didn't know how to tie, right? But the adults would wear a coat and tie, men, you know, the people were formal, the music was formal, the decorations in the center was formal, and I was taught to be reverent, to not misbehave. I wanted so much to jump off the steps. Be reverent, because, you know, that's the altar, not to misbehave or displease God. And I knew what misbehaving, you can ask, yeah, I knew what misbehaving was about. And I knew what you got for misbehaving, and that's a swat or a spanking, right? And I knew that I didn't want God giving me a spanking, as he seemed a little bigger than my dad or mom. But this is my context. And, you know, I didn't really hear a lot about the grace of God and what it was all about. I didn't hear that when I misbehaved, God still wanted me. And then he wanted to have a relationship with me. He wanted to know me personally. I didn't hear that. Nor did I hear how Jesus had sent part of himself, part of the triune God, called the Holy Spirit to help me. I God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I got that kind of thing, but I didn't really understand Holy Spirit. And nor did I hear about the difference of my identity through Christ when I accepted him. I didn't understand any of that. So my perspective as a young person about church was a little skewed. In fact, when I basically thought this, right? There were these people, those people, right? Got up early, put on uncomfortable clothes, and liked bad music. Come on now, some of you say, how can you speak about the Holy? No, you remember before you knew any of that, you're just like, what is this all about? And when I would go with friends to different churches and saw people moving to worship and raising their hands, I'll be quite honest with you, I was judgmental. Because I was operating from a place of reverence. And, that's changed, by the way, thank goodness. God got a hold of me. God got a hold of me through salvation. I said yes to him, and I began to mature, and my paradigm began to shift, and God touched my heart about worship. He's still doing it, folks. Aren't you glad God still loves you and touches your heart, and he's still changing you? So when I looked at people, and I saw that some people might be more expressive than I stopped from judging them. The Lord had really caused me to realize that their form of worship, if it was coming from the right place, from spirit and truth, that it was their worship, and it doesn't have to be my worship as long as I'm doing it authentically. I realized that raising hands and doing those things weren't just a ritual. I'd known about rituals. That the movement of their bodies reflected an attitude of praise and reflected a posture of their hearts. Speaking of which, in a couple of weeks, we're actually going to have dancers part of our praise service, part of our worship. No twerking. I didn't even know that word existed until modern, you know. It'll be beautiful because it'll be from a place of posture of their hearts before a king. See, when we look at the cross, we can see the posture of God's heart towards us. Look at the cross. He says, I love you this much that I would die for you. I'd lay my life down. I'd lay all my rights down for you so that you could have life. The gospel is a demonstration of God's love for humanity. Worship is a demonstration of humanity's love for God. Amen? All right, the next word. Posconio. Everybody say that with me. Posconio, right? Posconio. First part of posconio, there's three parts that help explain that. One is adoration, which is respect and reverence and love. It's our affection set upon him. Our emotions should be moved by God because he so loved me, I love him back. Amen? God so loved not just the world, he loved you and you. Have you ever thought how personal that is? That he would die for you? The second thing was prostrate. It means to lay your face down. Third thing is to kiss forward. And you're like, wow, I've told people to kiss off, but I've never told them to. Did I say that in church? Come on, you know. We have different ways of doing that. Some of you are like, there's other hand gestures I won't use. But when I was a kid, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I learned something. Have you ever blown somebody a kiss? So as my kids, we had kids still at home, and I would go off to work or go off to travel out of town. They had a habit of going, "Daddy, you want to blow your kiss?" Right? Our grandkids, when we're doing some FaceTime and they live in California, you know, they want to, actually, one of them wants to, like, holy kiss the screen. The older ones, it's more that. And I'm sure some of you have kissed forward to someone thinking, I love you. I love you. I would, you know, look forward to when you're closer, when you're back. See, that's a kind of the heart of the worshiper. When you get back to this word, this proskuneo, it's all those things. It's love. It's expression. Have you ever noticed that the more intimate a relationship is, the more demonstrative, the more extravagant the expression of love is? Have you ever noticed that? For instance, I can shake your hand here. I can shake a friend's hand. Maybe you're a friend that's a little closer. We might even give one of those man hugs, you know? I mean, that's good, right? Right? Or how about my dad or maybe your parents? You might give a little bit different hug, a little closer because there's definitely more interest. My kids, oh my goodness, grandkids, I can't breathe, that kind of hugging, you know? And yet, if I were to explain those kinds of demonstrative expressions of love, wait till you let me tell you about how I demonstratively love my wife, which I'm not going to go any further on. But I want you to know that of all the ways of expression intimacy, my wife is the greatest because I have the greatest relationship with her. But you know what tops all that? Really, where the deepest intimate relationship should be, and that's with God the Father, our Heavenly Father. And it's hard for us. It really is, as humans, because we like the tangible. We like those things, but God loves you so much. And the closer we get to Him, we can embrace Him. And you're like, well, how do you, just trust me, the closer you get, the more He's present. So the question might be, how demonstrative should our love towards Him be? Ask yourself that. How expressive should I be for Him? See, people will see that worship. I mentioned that before. It's not the point for them to see it. It's not something we're trying to prove to anybody. But, you know, when we go to this scripture in John, it says, but the hour is coming, and indeed it's now. Folks, if ever there's been a time in global history that Christ is sooner to return than ever, and more people are going to hell more than ever, now's the time. Church, now's the time. John wrote this years ago, but it's now. I didn't add the little, I just highlighted it. It's in Scripture. Look it up. It says, but the hour is coming, indeed it's now, when the true worshipers, okay? True worshipers. The poskunetes, okay, the worshipers. Well, what? Will worship poskuneo, the Father in spirit and truth, and the Father is looking for those who will worship. How? Poskuneo, demonstratively before this world. Again, not just in church. Somehow we get in here and, you know, we should say, well, I got freedom here. Don't do it that way, by the way. Looks like I was floating. But when we're out there, our behavior, our posture, our love for the Lord. See, there's three elements that come together with this adoration, this love, this lordship to come together. We see this in Mark chapter 12, and it says what? It says this, to love the Lord God with all your heart, okay? With all your what? Help me out. Soul, with all your, and with what else? You say, okay, Pastor, I've read that before, okay. But listen what it says, with all your heart means all your affection and all your passions. Do you love Him that way? I hope you ask the Lord to help you with that. The more I begin, I'm sitting here in worship, and I thought I've been studying this bow down part, and the more I begin to bow down, my emotion begin to realize what it would be like to stand before the King of Kings in reality. It'll move on you, folks, if you'll give it an opening for Him to move in you. When we look at with all your mind means with all your thoughts and all your imaginations, with all your soul is with all your will and your dreams and your personality. With all your strength means with all your actions. Now let me bring that to what do you do? You're out on the oil rig. And I understand, I worked the docks for years, drove a truck. loaded airplanes, right? And I can tell you one thing, why they call it the tarmac. I think tar smack. I don't know. Maybe sometimes, you know, fod walk, we had other words. But it's all your strength means with all your actions, including what you set your hands to and where you set your feet. You might work in a caustic environment, but folks, you who you are is who you are. And you'll operate in that environment, but you don't have to be of the environment. Every ship that goes to sea, every submarine that enters the waters, they're in the water, but they don't become part of the water. That's called sunk. And you don't want to be overrun. Jesus says the greatest command is to love God, which is to worship Him. So love God, love others. To worship God is my number one. We wear this t-shirt. My number one thing is to worship God, to love God, to reach up towards Him, to just be in an attitude of who He is. The second greatest commandment when Jesus was asked to love others, that's reaching out to others. That's not just, yeah, I love you if you're lovable. No, He said, I'm going to reach out to you to do what? To help you worship God. Folks, we get out there into the working world. We get out there sometimes in the lobby of, I'm talking about the other churches. Sorry, cameraman. And we'll say, hey, let's go talk about the junk going on in politics. And then we come in and go, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And we go over here and we go, go to lunch. The preacher passed too long. And then I had to chase him around with the camera, you know, and I wish he had. See, we got to be careful what we rehearse, and we begin to, how about this, we're going to love others, and we're going to say, oh, I get it, the pastor's nuts, but let's point it to the Lord, at least the grace of God loves him too. That's getting him the track back on, not saying everything is Pollyanna, no, but God's still in charge. How many know that the name of Jesus is above every name? He's above China, he's above Russia, he's above White House. He's above Republican. He's above Democrat. He's above sickness. He's above sin. He's above all things. That's the name of Jesus, folks. That's who we worship. But we forget. We get all caught up in the weeds. Man. See, love without lordship is empty emotionalism. Lordship without love is called religion or legalism. An expression without love or lordship is called hypocrisy. And I've seen it and you've seen it. That's why some of the people outside the church don't want to come to church, folks. Why would I come to a God like that? Why would I? You're showing me what God really means, so why would I do that? If we worship in fullness, everybody say fullness. All right, of love and lordship and expression, guess what? All men are drawn unto God that we're worshiping. People will see Jesus, who is worthy of love, is worthy of submission, is worthy of our hearts. And I believe that every meaningful Christian endeavor that you've seen has been born out of worship. I think it's expressed through worship and is sustained through worship. Please hear me say it's not music, but worship. Every international and foreign mission, every local mission. See, when we're worshiping, when we're doing it from the right place, it inspires other people. Every great evangelism. You know, you say, well, I want to be an evangelist, right? I want to be an evangelist. I want a preacher. It all comes from a place of what? Loving God first, worshiping Him first in heart, soul, mind, and strength. You say, I want to be on the worship team. See, somehow we've made it this separate thing. And you got to know how to play an instrument. That's okay. I mean, we love that, right? They help us. But you might want to be on a worship team. Music's just a tool, folks. But from the desire must come from the place of worship of God to you. So you can be a banker, a mechanic, a school teacher, a lawyer, a parent, a child, and you can worship Jesus. Amen? Isn't that so good? You can not be able to carry anything in a bucket, much less water or a song. You may be like a jailhouse singer, behind a few bars and can't find the key. Don't know if I'll use that second service, but See, the way you live around people is born out of your heart to love God. And if you're not loving God much, guess what they're going to see? The way you express worship is out of the heart to love God. And your worship inspires other people to love the Lord. You're out there doing just simple things there in your neighborhood or cul-de-sac. If it comes from a place of worship, he's going to be seen whether you bring his name up or not. It's full circle. I've asked a few people to come up, and I hope they're here in the service. Is Darla, Laura, and Levi? Ah, here they come. Here they come. I would like them to share a little bit with you. That's what we're going to do here today. Three questions, three people. What I love about... I was just helpful. I was there. Y'all don't have to sit that close. It's just how, Tyler set it up. No, you can if you want. So you may not notice that we have people up here that we would call part of the worship team. You guess what? You're part of the worship team, right? And we do need a microphone. Thank you so much. The sound booth, bless my wife, came running up going... But I've got three questions that I asked them, and I wanted it to... See, I'm trying to bring it into the fact that I'm going to get them off being worship team and just people. But they do have the extra role of being here on Sundays to worship, and we thank you all that goes into that. But let's pull away learning the music. Let's pull away all the things that can come. I'm going to get out of the way. I just realized this is probably in somebody's way over here to see them. But I want to ask you a couple of questions. And y'all want to know what's in their hearts? Hello? Okay. If not, just say pass. So here, let's just go from this way to this way, whatever. At what age did worship become important to you and why? And by the way, we only have a few minutes, so just make sure.
I brought 6 pages of notes.
Yeah.
I chewed on this one for a little bit because there's just different times in your life that worship can mean different things. Music itself has been really important to me. It's just the place since high school where the Lord and I have met and processed things. It puts words to the things I'm thinking or feeling. But I think worship became really important in college because there was a stint where I had a lot of health issues and I was getting maybe 3 hours of sleep for like a semester. And I was exhausted and so done. And every day I was like the mopiest person. And God was like, are you going to have joy today? Or are you going to choose to throw everything kind of away? And that's when I kind of learned that my worship of him could be a choice and joy could be a choice. And so worship became more of a weapon because I was like, Satan can't shut me down. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to praise the Lord. And so that's when worship became to mean a lot more of a fierce thing for me.
Perfect.
Good. At the age of 13 about the time that we started coming here to community church, and that was really when things started picking up because of some of the investment of others in my life. I finally started to figure out what personal worship meant. So through a lot of mentors, and a lot of events that the church held, they had a school of worship up here, at one point. So really just the investment of others installed a deep love, for worship in me because I'm kind of like you, cause music is a big part of my life and it's an outlet. And so worship for me is an action word. It's a response. So it helped me in my walk with the Lord, to give me a space to be able to experience him, and what it looks like, to be in his presence.
Miss Laura, by the way, I forgot one important slide.
Oh no, you don't have to. Okay.
Yeah. I waited. I did on purpose. Didn't want to throw him off.
Okay. Well, being the oldest person on the panel, I have notes just so I can remember what I was going to say. I think like Darla said, for me, worship has progressed over time. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I from the time I was a little girl, I've had a microphone in my hand many different times, and then But I would have to say, honestly, probably worship in the form of just living, and we sing and we do all these things, but as an expression through song has probably become more important to me over the last 5 years, handful of years, just because of the growth in the Lord that I have experienced. And so I think it's just been as a maturing thing, as I've grown, it's changed over time.
So one thing I want to add, go ahead and hand the mic back, I guess, unless we want to do it a different way. This morning, one of the things that our worship team does as a devotion before they get started on Sunday mornings, and it was brought up that, imagine you could come to church on a worship team, with stuff bugging you, off, that day is off somewhat, maybe you're frustrated with somebody, and it could even be somebody on the worship team. Maybe not. The reason I bring this up is the point is they're humans. They're not on some elevated platform. Actually, they've humbled themselves more to allow themselves to say, you know what, that's all real stuff, but I'm here not for me, I'm here for you, right? So the second question is, how do you prepare your heart for leading in worship on Sunday morning?
I think the biggest thing with that for me is just being honest with the Lord all the time. He knows the stuff I get angry about. He knows the stuff I get saddened by. He knows the stuff that frustrates me, that stresses me. He knows it all. So just making sure that I'm always talking throughout the week, talking with him about those things. And worship is powerful because I get to, in light of all of that, and God and I've talked about it, in light of all that, I get to still sing declarations of who he is because he doesn't change. And so I may feel a certain way, but that's when I command my heart to, like, we're singing what we believe about God and that this is who he is. And so part of preparing for Sunday is just being honest with the Lord. And leading worship is kind of a tricky thing because you're listening to what the Lord is telling you for the congregation. You're also trying to lead a band or you're playing an instrument. Maybe you're singing. So you've got like a three-way thing. And then you're also just saying, Lord, I love you and I'm here to pour out my personal worship to you. And so there's a lot going on. But just making sure that my heart stays prepared. And I pray a lot for all of you and ask the Lord, what do you want for this service? Because this is all his. Is there a scripture I need to share? Is there a direction we need to go? Is there something we need to arrest? What do we need to do? And so just being honest with him and then asking him, what do you want for your congregation today? And what does that look like in the context of worship?
Awesome. And by the way, for Levi, I want you all to know that we not only have represented what happens here on Sunday morning, we have a student worship experience on Wednesdays and other places. Levi is part of a group that really digs into leading and choosing, and he's an intern right now for us as a whole church. So he's involved in asking the Lord for songs and things of that nature. So there are a lot of mechanics, but God's doing more than you realize. So anyway, Levi, back to you.
That's good. Thank you. Something that our team has been walking through here recently is this idea of the preparation never stops. It should be a constant. It should be a constant thing that you are ready for. Talking about worship, because worship should be a constant state that you're in. And so one of the things that I do prepare physically is we practice, together on Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, but I also take a little bit of time out of my week, to practice through and run through, the songs on my own. But, something that I do, to prepare myself, spiritually and mentally is staying in the word, and having a constant flow of the word. So through worship songs, it's this idea that me and the Lord have been walking through of your cup. Your cup is going to be filled no matter what. It just depends on what it's filled with. So filling that cup with the Lord and filling it to the brim so that nothing else could get in.
Well, I don't think I need to say anything else. Where got that from?
So no. I'll tell you what, that since they said it all, number three, I'll let you start.
Well,
with
I do want to touch on it.
Okay,
just
all right.
A little bit.
All right. Sorry. If you want to incorporate 3-2 on there, because
But I just want to, you know, affirm what Levi said, and gosh, I tried to prepare not to cry. Preparing, how do you prepare? I over the years have every time I come up on stage, yes, thank you so much. I appreciate you. But my prayer constantly is, Lord, let this be an audience of one. It's about you. And throughout the week, just living, it's a lifestyle. It is out of that cup. It's the overflow. This isn't a performance on Sunday morning. It's an opportunity to come in to worship together the same God that we all love and serve every day, every moment, coming together as an opportunity to express whatever way that may be, whether it be raising your hands, kneeling on the ground, or just your knowing where your heart posture is. That's how I prepare. That's how I come prepared.
Hang on to the mic. We're going to go in reverse this time. So one of the things that all of this teaching is about isn't to look at worship abstract or third person. I want us to begin to understand how that throne of the Lord in us can be taken beyond here. So getting worship off the platform, you're going to hear me use that phrase in a little bit. So I've asked them this. What are the two, because I thought if I left that open-ended, two weekday, not weekend, weekday worship habits you currently have that you would recommend to us, right, that would help us experience deeper worship on Sunday, not related to the worship set?
Right. I think as I was thinking about this, honestly, it's two in one, I guess. And we've kind of already touched on it. And honestly, it's being in the Word daily. But not just reading it, but meditating deeply on not necessarily the words on the page, but what the words on the page is pointing you to. And that's to God. It's all about Him. And the more that we know Him, the more we love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we want to know about Him. And you're satisfied. You are satiated. It creates a craving for more. And honestly, if I can recommend anything, that would be it. Be in the Word. Meditate on Him daily, moment by moment, because that's who we worship. That's what it's about.
Yeah, you really hit it right there. Is letting it soak in and permeate your mind, and being a thing that not only that you read, but that it sticks with you. It's on your mind constantly. So one of the things that I do is after a time like that, I carve out some time in the morning to make sure that my day starts out right, that I give my best to the Lord first. After I do that, I typically have a pad going while I read, because I have to have something to listen to instead of, I know, I have to have something to listen to, but then I also have ADHD, so I get distracted. So it's kind of a weird thing to deal with, but a pad is just kind of a low tone, right? It just kind of sets the atmosphere. So I'll usually just go and grab my guitar or my piano, and I will worship personally with the Lord, because up on platform, there's a lot of things that you have to, that are going all at the same time. Lots of things that you have to keep track of. But whenever when it's just you and the Lord, there's a lot of freedom there. Because he doesn't care if you hit all the right notes. He doesn't care if you sing all the right words. He just wants your heart. And there's a lot of freedom in that. So that's one of the things that I do.
I 100% agree with them. We talked about this. We were like, yeah, we're probably not going to say read the Bible. Because really, the more you know God's character, the more reasons you have to love Him and worship Him. It just stirs up. Yeah, it's an important thing. This is a really fun thing that I love to talk about with our students, is just looking out for the wow God moments throughout your week. So all of us have different things that make us go, wow, God, thank you. That might, for me, it's hiking, or it's baking, or it's a conversation with a friend, or it's a beautiful story in a movie or a book or a soundtrack. And those things just stir up my heart, because I know where they come from. Okay, those aren't just things that were out here in the world. Those are things designed by God, and they are beautiful, and they make me go, wow, God, thank you. And so just throughout your week, ask the Lord, what are some things that stir up that worship? Or just pay attention. What are things that make you go, wow, God, thank you? And make time in your week for those things. It doesn't have to be music. It can be maybe you're playing outside. Some people, it's working out. Some people, it's crossword puzzles. I don't know what it may be for you that you would say, wow, God, thank you. But whatever that is, look to do that, because that just stirs up that love and adoration for him.
Well, that is awesome. Thank you. Let's give thanks to this panel. And if you all will take your chairs, what I'm going to do is as the worship team comes forward, I'm going to just kind of add a couple of little things. And I love hearing the personal side of who you might see every week. Hopefully it encouraged you. So as we close this study of what is worship, most of us realize and have even probably said the Lord's Prayer. Anybody remember the Lord's Prayer? Teach us to pray, Jesus. And it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this is the part I want us to focus on. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven one day. No. On earth as it is in heaven, right? Hello? So if I were to have a dream or a vision or a desire, it's for more of God's kingdom, this side of the heavens, this side of eternity, would come to earth. Anybody want to agree with me on that? Okay, let me start over here. How many would like people to go to hell? Raise your hand. I mean, I'm making it real, folks. How many want people to go to heaven? Guess what? His kingdom, his spirit must move and encounter someone before they die, or they will not make heaven. Thy kingdom come is his wholeness, his fullness of God. Amen? Amen. Is anybody over here want anybody to go to hell? You just want them to be trapped and in bondage and limping through life and hoping they just are doing well enough to not get a spanking from God? No, we want them to have freedom, to be healed in their spirit. Thy kingdom come. See, church, God doesn't want more buildings built called churches. He wants the church to come alive with the fullness of who he is. And I don't think it's wrong to have multiple churches, but he wants the entire church to rise up, or let him rise up in him. He wants the kingdom to come in them first. He wants the fire of the living God through the Holy Ghost to be active in us, encouraging us. He wants it expressed through what? Worship. Again, remember, it's not music. It's not just Sunday morning. It's in our lifestyle. It's day in. It's day out. And so I want to do anything I can to get worship off the platform and into people. When we're looking at the lost, it's helping them find their way. They may have good religion, but they need a relationship. They need to have a manifest awareness and presence of God. See, worship is losing self in adoration of another. Worship gets to the heart of who we are. And to truly worship God, we must let go of our self-worship. That's hard to swallow, but we all have a little self-worship. And we must be willing to humble ourselves before God, to surrender every part of our life to his control, to adore him. To adore him for who he is, not what he's done for you lately. Do you know he's that kind of God? He's worthy of our praise. Worship is a lifestyle and not an occasional activity every 7 days. Jesus said, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. It is through true worship that we can invite the Holy Spirit in to speak to us, to convict us, to comfort. It's through worship that we can realign priorities and acknowledge who it is. It's through true worship that he shows up and the miraculous happens. Let's all stand. Here's what I'd like us to do. heard a lot, you've seen a lot, we've talked over the weeks, but even today. But let's, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Can we do that as we close today, and then I'll offer a prayer. Is that all right? Yeah. Who wants the Lord to do ministry today? Okay. How many would rather be in somebody else than yourself? Because sometimes that's what we think. Yeah, we want God to move, but boy, I don't know if I'm ready. How many would like him to touch you today, wherever you're at? Whatever your need is, he'll do it. Let's worship and bow down. Amen.
And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God. The people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand.
More time, but here's what I'd ask you to do, whether you can physically kneel or not. I want you to think of somebody that needs a touch of the Lord. Maybe it's not you, but you're going to lift somebody up, a son, a daughter, maybe a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe it's a friend or a sister or brother that needs Jesus. Maybe there's someone in the hospital or experiencing hopelessness. I'd like you to kneel before God our Maker. I'd ask you to bow down and bring that petition that God would touch them before them today before we leave. It can be yourself, but think of somebody else that God could touch today. And let's sing this one last time as if we can envision the presence of God moving through our worship and them being encountered by it. Can you imagine that? Let's imagine a supernatural God doing that. Let's sing it one more time.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand.
We're going to continue to allow this time. I'm going to close here in a minute. Man, shifting who the object is, a family member that's going to miss heaven right now unless Jesus invades. This is real, folks. I don't bow before carpet or a building. I am before an amazing God that can do amazing things. And I hope you pray like that, crying out for your loved ones, crying out for yourself. He'll meet us where we need him. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we move from here, as your church leaves this building and all buildings around this area, but especially here, Father, we go out knowing that you're the only one and true God. We know that we are to give you the worship that you deserve. Lord, help us. Help us in our with our hands and our feet and our mouths. Help our hearts. I pray right now that if anybody is needing a breakthrough today, they don't leave without you encountering them, them lingering long enough that you would touch their hearts. But Lord, as we go out, we ask you to touch other people through us loving you and this reaching out to others. Help us be the church. Help us be the empowered church operating in the name of Jesus. And we pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Continue to pray or worship however you want. Love on somebody as you head out of here. Go in his strength and power and peace. God bless.
heavy heart inside my chest. I try so hard to give my best. These tired legs are shaking. Don't know how much longer I can take it. One step forward and two steps back. This narrow road ain't an easy path. Feeling so defeated, more than anything.